como church help me sing. And all through this life we live, and unto eternity our endless praise will cry. Jesus be glorified. And all through this life to eternity, our endless praise will cry. Jesus be glorified. Jesus be glorified.
So enthroned upon the praises of generation, you are worthy, Lord of all.
Unto you
and unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all.
Oh, be enthroned
upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy.
Give you all praise. We lift your name on high. Hallelujah. You are worthy,
Let's lift our hands and worship Him, church. Lift your hands and worship Him. Lord, we praise You. Be enthroned on our praises today. We magnify You. You are worthy. You are worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all worship. Come on, let's sing it one more time, everybody. Lift your voice up. Let heaven hear us. Let's enthrone Him today.
We bring You the highest praises,
Lord.
Come on, let's give Him our highest praise today.
Highest praises, Lord.
Just mean that you can look at the heavens and you can see God's creation. It's they are declaring how great God is. The sun, the moon, the stars, all of creation is speaking out without words how great God is. But we get the honor and the privilege of lifting our voices to Him and declaring that same thing. Amen. Lord, we thank You for Your presence in this place. It's our desire to walk close to You, Lord. It's our desire to honor You and glorify You and feel Your presence amongst us. We welcome You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them how glad you are to see them. Winter in Florida. It's pretty cold. For once, it's colder outside the building than it is inside the building. It's usually freezing in here. So I saw a thing, and my sister sent me something, and I was like, surely that's a joke. She's like, no, it was on the news in Naples, Florida. It was a warning that iguanas, at 40 degrees, they kind of freeze up and they'll just fall out of trees, and that you should watch out. I was like, are you kidding me? Is that like the worst danger there is in Florida? Is that an iguana? Mind you, they are pretty big, so you don't want one of those to land on your head. So be warned this morning. Could be. Never know. Be 40 degrees just for a few hours and they'll start warming up, right? But welcome to Ascend Church. So glad that you're here with us this morning. We look forward to, we had a great week last week with Pastor Alan Bagg. It's so wonderful for us. You enjoyed that? That boy can preach. We enjoyed his company too. But I'm looking forward to the message today. But I just want to welcome, if there's anyone that's visiting for the first time today, we love having visitors in our church. So if you are here for the first time, do you mind just waving your hand that we could recognize you? Anybody here for the first time? God bless you. Welcome. Anyone else? Our ushers will give you a visitor pack. It's got a couple of things. One is a card just telling you a little bit more about our church. And then there's a guest card. If you just take a moment and fill that out. And drop it in the offering bucket at the end of the service. That's really is a blessing to us. It helps us to just give you a call and stay in touch. So thank you for being here. And so lovely to see all your faces. To those that are watching online, welcome. If you'd let us know where you're watching from. If you're watching on Facebook Live, on YouTube, just let us know. And go ahead and share that live stream because it reaches so many more people. I think that especially in this the last couple of years, it's become more and more that people are watching online for various reasons. So share that, and you never know who it'll minister to today. So thank you for doing that. Various ways you can watch, as I say, Facebook Live, YouTube, Ascend Church. And those, you know, the good thing is you can always go back and re-watch it. Sometimes I want to go back, I want to hear the word, maybe a word of prophecy, or I want to hear the message again and take some notes and just feed on it a little more. So don't just take a 30-minute sermon and let that be it in one ear. A little bit goes in and the rest goes out. Meditate on it. Use it through the week. Listen to it again. Use the notes that we've given. You'll benefit more when you actually study the Word of God. Amen? And just want to mention the four main purposes of our church, and that is, first of all, that you would know God, right? Second of all, that you would find freedom in every area of your life, and that you would discover your purpose, and that you would make a difference with your life. Amen. I just thank you to everybody who's been donating clothes. We've made this month's mission. We've decided to support different missions every month this year, and this month's mission has been to Heart of God missions in West Palm Beach. We did a clothing drive, and they've been piling up in the lobby, and Pastor Steve is ready for them to get moved. And so they are going actually tomorrow. Our blessing angels, a group of ladies, are going to pick them up and go and donate them to Heart of God missions. So thank you. And you can thank us for getting you to clear your closets out, right? But it's to a good purpose, so we're very thankful that you participated in that. Thank you, Pastor Steve.
Great. Good morning, everybody. Well done for getting to church today. I mean, in this cold weather. But this is a time for you to prove your faithfulness to the Lord. Right? We think, what is it, 45 degrees today. Jill's sister lives in Canada. What was it? It's 9 degrees there. So, it's not so bad. 45 compared to 9. Well, we're sure glad you're here today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. Good to see you. I want to encourage you that in February, this next month, we're going to be starting up our Connect groups once again. And if you would like to be part of a Connect group, I would really encourage you to do it, you know, because it's important to have strong Christian friendships and relationships. And one young lady She's about 25 years old, and she said to me, Pastor Steve, when are we starting connect groups again? Because I've been so lonely, and I've really been missing it over, you know, the last 2 months. We haven't been doing it. And she came and asked me about it, and it really prompted me how important it is, how that we need one another. You know, the Christian life is not something you do in isolation. Even God exists in community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Christian life is not designed that you do it by yourself. We are a body. We are a family. And we need one another. And what happens in Connect Group is quite different to what happens in church on Sunday. Because it's small groups. We go over. We talk about Sunday's teaching. We share what we got out of it. We ask questions. But more than anything, we encourage one another. And we just have a great time building friendships. So if we've got Connect Groups in Stewart and West Palm Beach and Jupiter and out in the acreage, we got them all over. I believe we're going to have more and more. And so I want to encourage you, if you'd like to be part and join up with the Connect Group, in the seat back in front of you, there's a little white card. It says Connect. If you would just take that card and fill it in during the service, and then after the service in the lobby out there, there's a table, and our Connect Group leaders are going to be back there. And if you go back there and hand in your card, you can meet the Connect Group leader that's closest to where you live. And so please do that today. And then second thing I want to mention to you, how many of you have ever completed our Christian Growth Seminar? Wave your hand if you have attended the Christian Growth Seminar. Wonderful. Wave your hand if you have not yet been to the Christian Growth Seminar. Wave your hand. Put it up real high because I'm looking now. I want to see. Hold them up high. Hold them up. Don't put them down. I'm doing a count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Wow, there's like 20 people just here that haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar. And let me tell you, you really need to do the Christian Growth Seminar. It is an outstanding Bible study course. It runs for 4 Tuesday, or I think we're going to do it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night. But what I want to do is I want to start the Christian Growth Seminar in the month of February at the same time that we're running Connect Groups. So if you want to be a part of the Christian Growth Seminar, it's a free course. It's 4 weeks. There's so much you will learn. You will learn how to pray. You'll get baptized in water. You'll learn about the Holy Spirit. You'll learn about faith. You'll learn about how to walk in God's financial blessing. There's so much on it. If you would take this little green card that says Grow, it's in the seat back in front of you. Fill out that card. I know sometimes it's a little hard because it's glossy and sometimes it's a little hard to write on. So just prick your finger and do it in blood. No, just joking. Sometimes it's hard to write, but just persevere. If you would drop that card into the offering bucket that's coming by a little later on, I'd like to start the Christian Growth Seminar during the month of, in fact, I'd like to start it like not this week, but the week after. On the Tuesday, the 8th of February is when I'd like to start it. So please don't delay. Fill out the card today, and we'll get you on the Christian Growth Seminar. It's going to be great. Then we're going to have a water baptism. How many of you have not yet been baptized in water? I don't mean when you were a baby. I mean since you became a believer. Wave your hand if you've not been baptized yet in water. We're going to be doing water baptism as well. Monique, you've been waiting for the Christian Growth Seminar. You've been asking me about it. Every other week you ask me about it, and I've been looking forward to it. So if you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar, Richard, please fill out this card. I know you've been a Christian a long time. We were talking the other day. He was telling me how he was out on the streets, I think in Texas, preaching the gospel. And he's been sitting here all quiet, and it turns out he's like a preacher, a street preacher. And so please fill out this card. Tom and Deidre, I want to see a card from you, okay? I know who you are. And I also know where you live. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready to receive God's word today. I want to thank the band doing a wonderful job today, as you always do. Wonderful job. We want to welcome We want to welcome Bronson over there, man, oh man. And he just moved down from Ohio, and I met him last Sunday, just before service. He's a friend of Muff, and I met him before the service, and he told me, and I said, why don't you sing for us? And Nadine, my daughter's like, Dad, you're so trusting. I mean, I just met this person. But I just felt in my heart. Yes, we just had a connection, right? And what's the worst thing could happen? But he did a great job. He's such a great singer. And so I asked him if he would join our team, and he agreed. And he's living in Broward. He drove up from Broward this morning, got here at 8 a.m. Amen. So thank you so much. And he's standing in there on piano for Callie today, who's not feeling good. But next Sunday, you'll be out on the stage here.
Looking forward to it. We can't wait, man.
We're so glad to have you with us, Bronson.
Thank you, sir.
Charles Bronson.
That's right.
That's what he told me. He said, just remember, Charles Bronson. And I can never forget
never
that now.
Good.
You know who Charles Bronson is? Before your time. Look at you. You can tell you're from Chicago. Janice is here in a tank top. You've got a tank top on. It's 45 degrees outside. She used to work in Chicago. You know, she drove a horse and carriage. You know the horse and carriages? Do they still have them in Chicago? Because did they stop them in New York City? Anyway, so that's what you used to do, the horse and carriage. I still can't believe that, but for 10 years, 13 years. Did you do the horse and carriage in the vest too? In the tank top? A tuxedo. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you that you are so faithful, Lord. We thank you that you are so good. We thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word to perform it, that everything you promise, Lord, thank you that you bring it to pass. Father, as I teach your word today, I make it known that I am not trusting in myself. I'm not depending on my own human ability. I'm trusting you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you rise up within me today and that you anoint me and that you speak through me, that you bring revelation, you cause our faith to grow, Father. And I give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak about faith that pleases God. The scripture says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. Now, impossible means not possible. You cannot please God without faith. Not only is it impossible to please God without faith, you cannot receive anything from God without faith. So there's two important things here. Number one, if we're going to please God, we've got to know, we've got to be walking in faith. And secondly, if we want to receive anything from God, it comes through faith. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But, how many know what but means? It means carry on reading. This is a condition. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. The Bible says we cannot receive anything from God except by faith. Faith is the currency that governs the economy of the kingdom of God. Faith is the key. The stronger you are in faith, the greater things you'll see happen in your life. The faith that pleases God is, we can see this in Matthew chapter 8. The Bible says that when Jesus entered Capernaum, that a centurion, a Roman centurion, came to him and pleaded with him. He said, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I love Jesus' reaction. I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered and he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof.
But only speak a word. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And the Bible says, he said, I also am a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. This Roman centurion, Jesus said, I haven't seen such faith like this. And Jesus, it made Jesus marvel. Jesus was amazed. He was pleased. And he said this man had great faith. Why did Jesus say the Roman centurion had such great faith? What was it about him that made Jesus say that? Because he said, Lord, just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. In other words, he believed in the word of Jesus. He said, just speak the word, it'll happen. See, if you want to have great faith that pleases God, you must determine that you are going to believe the word of God. If God said it, man, then you believe it. Doesn't matter how things look. If God said it, I believe God's word no matter how things look. That's the key to faith. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now, not only does strong faith please God, but it also moves God to act on your behalf. It receives miracles from God. Abraham is called the father of our faith. And Abraham had the strong faith that pleased God and saw miracles happen. In Romans 4, verse 16, it says, so God's blessings are given to us by faith. Say, the blessings of God are given to me by faith. As a free gift, we are certain to get them whether or not we follow Jewish customs if we have faith like Abraham. For Abraham is the father of all of us when it comes to these matters of faith. Abraham is our example. That is what the scriptures mean when they say that God made Abraham the father of many nations. God will accept all people in every nation who trust God as Abraham did. And this promise is from God himself, who makes the dead live again and speaks of future events with as much certainty as though they were already past. Now, I like the New King James says, God calls things that do not exist as though they did exist. Verse 18, so when God told Abraham that he would give him a son who would have many descendants and become a great nation, Abraham believed God, even though such a promise just couldn't come to pass. It was impossible. It says in the Passion Translation, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, just like that Roman centurion. He took God at his word. And as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Amen. Verse 19, and because his faith was strong, he didn't worry about the fact that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100. And that Sarah, his wife at 90, was much too old to have a baby. The Bible says because his faith was so strong, he didn't worry about the facts. The Passion Bible says, in spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the facts that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. You see, what were the facts that could not undermine Abraham's faith? Well, the fact that he was 99 years old, the fact that his wife was unable to have children, these are all medical facts. But when you have strong faith, it cannot be undermined even by the facts. Verse 20 says, Abraham never doubted. He believed God, for his faith and trust grew ever stronger. And he praised God for this blessing even before it happened. He was completely sure that God was well able to do anything that he promised. Amen? The Passion Bible says it like this. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promise, Abraham glorified God. Verse 22. Because of Abraham's faith, say, because of Abraham's faith, God forgave his sins and declared him not guilty. Now, let me read it from the Message translation, just from verse 20, the Message Bible. I like to read scriptures from different translations because sometimes I just get a little better understanding from different versions. The Message Bible says he didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said. That is why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. What's our theme of this year? Fit for the kingdom. Do you know that faith makes you fit for the kingdom of God? Abraham was declared fit because of his faith. Against all the odds, Abraham and Sarah, they had children, and he became the father of a nation. It all happened because of Abraham's faith. He believed God's word in spite of how impossible it looked. Amen? The faith that pleases God is when you believe God's word no matter how things look, no matter what the facts are, no matter how you feel about it. That's why the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. We are to live and walk by faith. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4, 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Bible says we don't look at the things we can see with these eyes. We're looking at the things that are not seen. You see, to have faith that pleases God, you cannot look at the things you see with these eyes. But you've got to, with your eye of faith, you've got to look at the things, the promises in God's word that are unseen in the physical. What are the things that you cannot see with your physical eyes that are going to last forever? Because the Bible says we don't look at the things which we can see, which are just temporary. But we look at the things that you can't see, because that's eternal. What's the things we can't see, but that are eternal? Well, Jesus said in Luke 21, 33, and though all of heaven and earth shall pass away, my words will remain forever true. The thing that you can't see always, but that is eternal and will never change, is the word of God. Your circumstances that you see with these eyes can change just like this, can change from day to day. But God's word, it always will never change. The Passion Bible says, earth and sky will wear out and fade away before one word that I speak loses its power or fails to accomplish its purpose. Thank God the word of God hasn't lost any of its power because it is eternal. If you want to have the kind of faith that pleases God and receives from God, you must believe the Word of God and act upon the Word of God and keep looking at that and not be moved by what you see with your physical eyes or what you feel in your body. You keep believing what God's Word says. Amen. Now, how can you have this kind of strong faith that pleases God? The good news is your faith can grow. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other. So I want to share with you five keys today of how you can grow your faith and become strong in faith and have the kind of faith that pleases God like Abraham had. Are you ready? Number one, the first thing to do if you want to grow your faith and become strong in faith is you have to feed on the Word of God every day. The Scripture says in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more that I hear God's Word, the more my faith is strengthened. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. The more you feed on God's Word, the stronger your faith will be. If you want strong faith in the area of healing, then you need to listen and meditate to what the Word of God says about healing. The more that you listen to what God's Word says about healing, the stronger your faith will be. Now, so let me give you a couple of scriptures. Let me tell you what God's Word says about healing, because the more that you meditate on this, now there's hundreds of scriptures in the Bible, but I'm going to just give you a couple of my favorites. Matthew 8, verse 17 says, He Himself took our sicknesses and bore our diseases. Say, Jesus took my sickness and He bore my diseases. The reason Jesus took my sickness and bore my diseases is so I don't have to. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says this, My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. I actually want the New King James. I don't know why I've got the NIV there. I didn't want that. I wanted the New King James. My son, pay attention to what I'm saying to your ear. To my words, do not let them depart out of your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to your whole body. Do you know the Word of God? The Bible, in fact, one translation says that God's Word is like medicine to your body. When you hear God's Word, it's like feeding on God's medicine. It is health to your flesh. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Say, I were healed. By the stripes of Jesus. Isn't that what it says? If I were healed, I was healed. If I was healed, I is healed. That's what God says. God says, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Exodus 15, 26, I am the Lord who heals you. Psalm 103, verse 2, Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Now, the more that you meditate on that, on scriptures like that, the more you meditate on what God's Word says about healing, the stronger your faith will be to trust God for your health. Now, on our app, the Ascend Church app, we have a place there that we have prayers and declarations. You can go into the prayers and declarations, and we've got declarations and confessions that you can make of God's Word over yourself. You can just go onto the app and go through the scriptures, and you can meditate on them. That's how you build strong faith. Are you with me? See, I've been doing this for 40 years. For 40 years, I've been meditating on what the Word of God says about healing. And so I have strong faith in that area to believe God for healing. If the enemy tries to put sickness on me, doesn't mean the enemy doesn't try to come against me, but immediately what I do, I just keep on feeding. I turn up my dosage and keep on feeding on the Word of God and feeding on scriptures like I just told you. I just quote them over and over and over. Thank you, Lord, by your stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, you took my sickness, you bore my diseases. Thank you, Lord, that you restore my health and you heal me of my wounds. Thank you, Lord, that you are my healer. That's what comes out of my mouth. Doesn't matter how I feel. Now, not only can you build faith believe God for healing for yourself, but do you know that you can build your faith and have strong faith to be able to minister healing to others. In Mark 16, verse 17, it says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. The New Living Translation says, these miraculous signs will follow those who believe. And verse 18 says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The Passion Bible says, they'll lay hands on the sick and heal them. How many of you, let me see your hands if you're a believer in Jesus. Let me see your hands. So this is talking about you. The Bible says you can lay hands on sick people and they will be healed. Say, well, I don't think so. I don't think so, Pastor Steve. The reason you don't think so is because your faith isn't strong in that area. But if you will meditate on these scriptures and feed on them, you'll come to a point where when you see someone or you meet someone and they need healing, the first thing you'll be is, well, would you like me to pray for you? Jesus said believers will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. In John 14, verse 12, look what else Jesus said. Anyone believing in me shall do the same mighty miracles that I have done, and even greater ones, because I go to be with my Father, and you can ask him for anything using my name, and I will do it. For this will bring praise to the Father because of what I, the Son, will do for you. Yes, ask anything using my name, and I will do it. Now, let me tell you, Peter and John, they knew this, man. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were on their way to attend a prayer meeting, and they saw a man who was crippled from birth. He was being carried and placed at the entrance to the temple, and he asked them for money as they were going in. And in Acts 3, verse 4, look what happened. Peter and John, they looked straight into the eyes of the crippled man, and they said, look at us. And expecting to receive a gift, he gave them his attention. And Peter said, I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man, and he pulled the man to his feet, and suddenly power surged into the crippled feet and ankles. And the Bible says that the man jumped up. He stood for a moment, stunned, began to walk around, and he went into the temple courts with Peter and John. He leapt for joy and shouted praises to God. The Bible says the people saw this. They were astonished. Because they knew this man. They knew he'd been crippled all his life. And in verse 12, Peter saw his opportunity. He addressed the crowd. He said, people of Israel, why is this so surprising? Why are you staring at us as though we made this man walk by our own power or by our own godliness? He said in verse 16, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before, but faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Why did Peter and John have such faith in the name of Jesus? Because they saw Jesus do miracles, and Jesus told them, you're going to do the same things I did in my name. You lay hands on the sick. And they believed it, and they went and did it. Well, let me tell you, do you know God will do miracles through you if you'll step out and pray for somebody? Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Jesus is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. If you want strong faith in the area of prosperity, meditate and feed on scriptures where the Bible promises you prosperity. There's hundreds of them. Philippians 4, verse 19, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Passion Bible says, Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd, I always have more than enough. Say, I always have more than enough, because the Lord is my shepherd. Verse 5 says, my cup overflows with blessing. Job 36, verse 11, if they listen and obey him, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. God says, if you will listen to me and if you will obey me, you will be blessed with prosperity throughout your life. That's the promise of God. Isaiah 1:19, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, I'll make you rich. Deuteronomy 8:18. Always remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you power to become rich. Please remember, everything you got, it was not by your power. Remember, it is the Lord who gave you power to become rich. And He does it to fulfill His promise to your ancestors. Deuteronomy 28:12, you will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. Say, I will lend, I never need to borrow. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, it shall prosper. Say, whatever I do, it shall prosper. Why? Because I am meditating in the Word of God and I'm following the Lord. And because of that, God says, whatever I do, it's going to prosper. Let me tell you, the more you feed on scriptures that promise you prosperity, the stronger your faith will be in this area. The more you meditate on scriptures that promise you protection, the less you'll worry and the safer you'll feel. Psalm 121, are you ready? Psalm 121, verse 1. I'm giving you some samples here. I love Psalm 121. It says, I look up to the mountains and the hills, longing for God's help. But then I realize our true help and protection is only from the Lord. Say, my true protection is from the Lord. He's protecting you from danger both day and night. Say, God is protecting me from danger day and night. Verse 8, you will be guarded by God Himself. You will be safe when you leave your home, and safely you will return. He'll protect you now, and He'll protect you forevermore. Now, when you meditate on that, what happens? You start to feel safer. You start to believe the Lord's protecting me. Psalm 62, verse 2, He alone is my safe place. His wraparound presence always protects me, for He is my champion defender. There's no risk of failure with God. So why would I let worry paralyze me even when trouble multiplies around me, man? He's my safe place. There's no risk of failure with the Lord. How about Psalm 91, verse 2? Say it with me. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. He's my place of safety. He's my God. I trust Him. Say, He will rescue me from every trap. He will protect me from deadly disease. God protects me from deadly disease. I'm not living my life based upon what the CDC tells me. I'm living my life based upon what the Word of God tells me. That's what my faith is in. Now, you want to put your faith in the CDC, go right ahead. The problem is they change their mind a lot. Psalm 91, verse 11, God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. Say, I'm surrounded by angels, and they protect me wherever I go. How about Proverbs 2, verse 8? The Lord becomes your personal bodyguard as you follow His ways, protecting and guarding you as you choose what is right. Say, God's my bodyguard. The president may have a secret service. God is my bodyguard. How about Luke 10, verse 18? Jesus said, I know. I saw Satan fall. A bolt of lightning out of the sky. See what I've given you? Safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions and protection from every assault of the enemy. It doesn't say that the enemy's not going to try to come against me. It says God's going to protect me. No weapon formed against me will succeed. Psalm 34, verse 7. God's angel sets up a circle of protection around us while we pray. Say, while I pray, the angels of God have got a circle of protection around me. Now, there's many more scriptures about protection, about healing, about prosperity. In fact, there are scriptures in the Bible that cover every single thing you face in your life. If you want to have more peace in your life, build your faith by meditating on scriptures about peace. For example, in John 14:27, Jesus said, "I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous." Say, "I have the peace of God." See, you can build and have strong faith for any area that you may be struggling in, whether it be favor or whether it be strength, wisdom, protection, prosperity, whatever it is. The first key to growing your faith is feed on the Word of God every day. Can you imagine if we fed on the Word of God as much as we feed on social media? That kind of hit me, because you know when it comes up on your phone how much time you spent on social media? You've got to be kidding me. I thought about it. Imagine if you spend as much time just reading your Bible. Instead of going to Facebook, you went to your Bible on your phone and read that. Can you just imagine what would happen? The second key to grow your faith. First one is feed on the Word of God. Second one is to believe the Word of God. Romans 4:18 says, "Against all the odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise. And he expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word. And as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass." Abraham believed the word of God. In Hebrews 11, verse 11, it says it was by faith that Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. Jesus told that Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 8, "Because you have believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. When two blind men came to Jesus for healing in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I have the power to restore sight to your eyes?" And they said, "Yes, Lord, we believe." Jesus put his hands over their eyes and he said, "You will have what your faith expects." Say, "I will have what my faith expects." In Mark 9:23, Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes." In Hebrews 4:3, it says, "For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest." You see, you got to choose that you're going to believe what the Word of God says. You're going to believe that that Bible is God's Word. You know, in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, and he said this. He said, "When you received this message from us," or his message from us, "you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very Word of God," which of course it is. "And this Word continues to work in you who believe." You see, the Word of God works in you when you believe it. And you've got to know, when you read the Bible, that's God's Word. That is every word has been inspired by God. It's God talking to me. If the Word of God says it, man, I believe it. That settles it. You've got to make the Word of God the final authority in your life. Because let me tell you, God's Word works when you believe it. The Bible is the Word of the Word of God. If you'll never have strong faith that pleases God if you're always questioning God's Word. Always questioning. Well, does that mean me? You'll never have strong faith. You've got to make God's Word final authority in your life. Amen? Move on for me, Michelle. Thank you so much. The third key to grow your faith is you've got to speak your faith. Say, "I must speak my faith." Everybody, "I must speak my faith." Here's a good opportunity to do it. "I must speak my faith." In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, "We have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, 'First I believed, and then I spoke in faith.' So we also first believe, and then we speak in faith." This is what the woman in Mark chapter 5 did. There's a woman in Mark chapter 5. She was sick for many years, for 12 years. She'd been to every doctor. They couldn't help her. The Bible says in verse 27, when she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and she came behind him and she touched his prayer shawl. For she kept saying to herself, if I could just touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. And as soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it. She could feel in her body being instantly healed of her disease. And it says, Jesus felt the power go out of him. And Jesus stopped and he asked the crowd, he said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And the disciples are like, Lord, what do you mean, who touched you? They look at all these people around you. There's a lot of people pressing up against you. Yet they didn't get healed. But finally, only this one woman who got healed, she came forward and she told Jesus what happened. She told him what happened to her. And Jesus said in verse 34, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Do you know that your words give life to your faith? Unless you speak your faith, it won't work. Jesus said this about the power of faith in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, verse 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. The word says is mentioned three times in that verse. You see, this is the same kind of faith that God uses, that God operates in. The Bible says, by faith, God spoke this world into existence. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. That's how God created this world. He spoke it in faith. Nothing happened until God spoke. And the same is true for you and me. See, you can believe the word of God all day long, but unless you speak it in faith, it won't work for you. You've got to speak your faith. You've got to say what you believe. It's one thing to believe that Jesus took your sickness, but you've got to say it. Jesus took my sicknesses. He bore my diseases. And by his stripes, I was healed. You've got to speak it out. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This is where so many people miss it in this right here. Because instead of saying what the word of God says, they say what they see or what they feel. How you doing? Oh, I'm so sick, man. I'm so sick. Why are you sick? Because I feel sick. But God says you heal. But I don't feel healed. But until you believe and say what God says, you won't experience the feeling. Is this making sense to you? Number four, if you want to grow your faith, you must act like God's word is true. Put action to your faith. In James 2, verse 17, it says, faith that doesn't involve action is phony. Faith that doesn't have any action is phony. The New International Version says, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. The New International Revised Version said, if it doesn't cause us to do something, it's dead. And James 2:20 says, "Without faith without actions is useless." And James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And James 2:26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. Amen? In the scripture, there was a man who was paralyzed. I mean, he would lie on his bed all day at home. And one day, he heard that Jesus was in town. In fact, Jesus was just not far away at another house in his town. And so he convinced four of his friends to carry him on his bed over to the house where Jesus was. And the problem is, when they got there, the place was so crowded, they couldn't get inside. And his friends had gone to great lengths to get him there. I'm sure they were tired. I'm sure it was a disappointment. They could have easily gotten discouraged. But this paralyzed man, I'm telling you, he was determined. And he wouldn't give up. And as his four friends turn and start to carry him back home, he says, no, we're not going home yet. Not leaving till I get my miracle today. Because this man understood that you, let me tell you, you are closest to your victory when you face your greatest opposition. A lot of people would have given up, but not this man. A lot of people would have said, well, you know, I tried, but they told me no. I tried to get a new home, but they wouldn't give me a loan. I tried to get another job, but, you know, I tried to come to attend church. It's just too far away. I mean, you've got to be determined, man. You've got to have a never say die attitude. If you can't get in the door, why not try the window? If you can't get through the window, why not be bold and go through the roof? That's what this man did. Don't quit. You're close to your victory. This man said to his friends, I've got an idea. Why don't you take me up on the roof, cut a hole, and lower me down through the roof so I can have a front row right in front of Jesus. I imagine these four men said, listen, brother, we love you, but you're crazy. How are we going to get you up there? It's impossible. But he talked them into it. And finally, they hoisted their friend up on the roof. Jesus was in the middle of preaching his sermon. And suddenly, dust starts falling from the ceiling. People wonder, what's going on? All of a sudden, a tile comes off, and another tile comes off, and another tile comes off. And here comes this man, lowered through the roof, right in front of Jesus. How did Jesus react? The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. What did Jesus see? He saw their action and he called it faith. See, here's my question for you today. Are you ready? Do you have a faith that God can see? Are you putting any actions behind what you're believing for? You believe in God for a business. Have you drawn up a business plan? Have you made any research? What action have you put behind your faith? Verse 11 says that Jesus said to the man, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, he took up his bed, he went out in the presence of them all. They were all amazed. They glorified God. They said, we never saw anything like this. Amen. It happened because this man dared to do something where God could see his faith. Don't you know there were other people in that room that didn't receive healing? Other people had the same opportunity. But what was the difference? This man put action behind his faith. He acted on what he believed. God's looking for people that have a faith he can see. Not just one that he can hear, but a faith that's visible. A faith that's demonstrated. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, in 1991, I was working for Pastor Theo. I was 27 years old. And the Lord spoke to Jill and I to start a church in a place called Cape Town. It's 1,000 miles from Johannesburg. We had many confirmations. Our pastor confirmed it. We had Prophet Ed Trout. We had a number of people that prophesied and confirmed it. But do you know that nothing would have happened if we didn't sell our home, go to Cape Town, rent a building for the church, rent a house for us to live in, book the kids into schools, arranged a venue for our opening conference, did advertising, put posters up everywhere, sold our home to buy the equipment needed to start the church. All of those things are actions of faith. Same thing when the Lord told us to come to America in 1999. Come and start a church. We came over. We rented an apartment in Juneau Beach. We rented the Palm Beach Gardens High School auditorium where Michelle is now. Where's Michelle at? You worked there, Michelle. And we rented the auditorium. We booked a theater, had an opening conference. We did advertising. All of those things are acts of faith. You see, God may have given you a promise and God may have given you a dream, but what actions are you taking to show that you believe? And then number five, I'm going to close with this. Are you getting something out of this today? Number five, if you want to grow your faith and have strong faith, here's it. You must stand on the word of God and never quit believing. You got to learn how to stand fast and not quit. In Hebrews 10:23, it says we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who made the promise is faithful. Let me tell you, God is faithful. It may not seem like anything's happening. If you keep standing on the Word of God, it may not look like anything's happening. You keep standing on the Word of God and declaring the Word of God and acting like it's true, and all of a sudden. Isn't that right, William? I was so glad to talk to William today. I've seen him he uses a cane. He went to the doctor about 4 months ago, is that right? And they told him that he had a herniated disc, and the only thing, he'd have to have surgery. They couldn't do anything without surgery. They stood on the Word of God. They stood on the Word of God. They believed God. And he came in today without his cane. I saw him walking without his cane. I said, man, you're looking good, man. Praise God. Standing on the Word of God. Amen, William. The Message Bible says, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going, because he always keeps his word. Don't let go of the promises of God. Don't let go of your faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. What do you do when you've done everything you know to stand? Keep on standing. Oh, what do I do, Pastor Steve? I've been standing for 6 months. Keep on standing. Just keep on standing. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. There is a fight to faith. Now, let me tell you, it's easy to say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus took my sicknesses. It's easy to say that when you feel good. But it's another story when you don't feel good. And I know it's a challenge to say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, when you feel like you're dying. But it's the key. It's the key. It's to speak God's word, doesn't matter how it looks. Doesn't matter how you feel. You keep on speaking the word of God. One time I had such pain, more severe than childbirth. That's a joke. But it was really, I was in pain, man. And I went to the doctor and they said my appendix was swollen and they were concerned it was going to burst. This is years ago. They were concerned my appendix were going to burst. So they checked me in the hospital for observation. I went into that hospital. This is the day we still had tape decks, you know, Walkmans. And I took Kenneth Hagin healing scriptures and put it on my Walkman and listened to it, let it go all night. And I just kept standing on the Word of God. I'm in hospital. The next morning, they checked me out. I still got my appendix, by the way. Just stand on the Word of God. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. See, the Bible says that we mustn't draw back. We must, having done all to stand, stand. You keep standing what God's word says. My God supply. I can't tell you how many times Pastor Jill and I have stood on the word of God for this church and said, Lord, thank you that you supply all the needs of us in church. When some of you never knew anything what was going on, just standing on the word of God and just out of nowhere. Something happened. Check, come in. Romans 12, verse 12. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in times of trouble. Don't give up in times of trouble. Say, I won't give up. Move on for me, Michelle. The Message Bible says, don't quit in hard times. Galatians 6, 9. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up, at the right time, you're going to reap that harvest of blessing. And then finally, Psalm 27:14.
Here's what I've learned through it all. David said, here's what I've learned through it all. What did you learn through it all, David? Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave. Be courageous. Never lose hope. Keep on waiting. He will never disappoint you. You know what I learned? Don't give up. Because He won't disappoint you. He is faithful. If He said it, He will do it. If you will stand in faith and stand on the Word of God and thank God and praise God, like Pastor Alan Bagg told me that when Janine, his wife, was in hospital for 30 days with COVID and the doctors told him there's nothing we can do, you should say goodbye to her, he would stand there and he would worship the Lord for hours every day and just give God praise and stand on the Word of God. And Lord, Your Word is true. And today, Janine's preaching in Cape Town. Praise God. She's preaching over in Cape Town today. They stood on the Word of God when it looked impossible. She would be gone. One of the greatest keys to success. So this is for our spiritual life, our job, our career, our relationships, so many things in life. One of the greatest keys is don't give up. Don't quit. If you're going to fulfill your destiny, if you're going to become everything that God created you to be, you've got to have a made-up mind that no matter what comes against you, you refuse to give up. No matter how long it may be taking, man, no matter how many times you get knocked down, you're not going to stay down. You're not going to start complaining. You're not going to let go of your faith. You're going to stand on the Word of God. You believe God's Word is final authority. You're going to refuse. I refuse to doubt. I refuse to waver. I refuse to question. I refuse to be moved by what I see. I'll not be moved by what I feel. I'm going to stand on the Word of God, and I'm going to give praise unto God, and I'm going to keep on speaking my faith. If you do that, let me tell you, not only will you please God, but you will see miracles take place. You will see promises fulfilled if you stand on the Word of God and keep walking in faith. Can you say amen? Did you get something out of this today? I felt like I wanted to encourage you in your faith today, because let me tell you, family, what I'm sharing with you today, this is how we live. This is how we live. When I feel sickness try and come on my body, I immediately start speaking the Word of God. You see, that faith, it's like a shield, man. I got that shield of faith. I got the sword of the Spirit. I'm standing on the Word of God. I'm believing and saying what God says. Amen. Bow your head. Father, thank You today for every person that's here. Thank You, Lord, that we can trust Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that we can build our life on Your Word, because Your Word is like a rock, Father. You said that those who hear Your Word and do it, they build their life on the solid rock. Yes, the flood may come. Yes, the storm may come, but their house will remain standing. It will. No weapon that is formed against us is able to prosper. Father, I thank You today for all of us, that our faith is being strengthened. Our faith is growing. Thank You, Lord, that we believe You. We are believers, Lord. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We know that You watch over Your Word, and everything You've said, Lord, that's the truth, and You will bring it to pass in the name of Jesus. Just while your eyes are closed and while your head is bowed, before we dismiss the closed service today, we always want to pray. We want to give opportunity. If there's anyone here this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you had to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. What I'm asking you is, if you died today, are you absolutely certain that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be certain of that. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. Every mistake you ever committed is forgiven and it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but right where you are sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve,
pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure that all is right between me and the Lord. I want to make sure when I die that I'll go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you to slip your hand up right now. Just put it up high. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. Amen. God bless you. Thanks. Thank you, Pastor Jillian. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I have strong faith.
I have strong
faith. I have the kind of faith that pleases God. I'm walking by faith, not by sight.
Tom says you should preach that once a month. I was like, I could hear faith every week. In fact, I listen to teachings on faith every single week because there's nothing that receives from God like faith, right? Praise God. Well, now's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's how our church is funded, is by the tithes and offerings of members of our church, of people who feel led of the Lord to give to us. And there's various ways to give. There's the envelopes right in your seat. There's ways to give online. You can do, there's people that do recurring giving, and that's a real blessing to the church. So thank you for just using one of those. We just try to make it easy. Different people like different strokes for different folks, right? It all goes the same place. The scripture I want to read with you this morning. Thanks, Michelle. Thank you for serving on the media team. Is it your first Sunday there? Second Sunday. So good, so good. We appreciate everyone that serves in our church. And, you know, I'm so thankful that I learned the principle of investing in God's kingdom at a young age. I really am. And we invest in God's kingdom by various ways. We give our service, like people are doing. We give our time, but we give of our finances. And that's one way of investing in the kingdom of God. And so Matthew 6, verse 19, Pastor Steve read it last week, but I'll read it again, just two verses. Jesus said this. He said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Isn't that what people are trying to do? Store up treasures because everything's so valuable. Everything on this earth is so valuable to them, right? Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I want to just give you four quick benefits of investing in God's work. Because that's what we're doing when we give, is we're investing in God's work. The first one is you'll be promoting God's kingdom on the earth. That's who I'm promoting. That's who I'm investing in. That's who I'm getting. I'm backing. That's the horse I'm backing, right? My dad was a real gambler on the horses. But that's the horse I'm gambling. That's the one I'm gambling on, right? Number two, you will be assisting God's work. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We sang it and we pray it. We pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But when you actually give, it's not just words out of your mouth. It is putting your money where your mouth is. It's actually promoting God's will to be done. And thirdly, you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. We know this is all fading away, right? We're thinking beyond. We're thinking beyond. We had a good friend of ours die yesterday morning. Around about our age, known him for many years, South African, living in the USA, pastor. We've ministered for him many times. He died yesterday morning. Like that, it's over. What have we got for eternity? What rewards? And I know Nick's laid up endless rewards in heaven. And that's what I'm looking at. And lastly, I'll read this verse. Jesus said, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God. So anything you do for the sake of the kingdom of God, he says, will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. So there, fourthly, you'll become a target of God's blessings here on earth and lay up treasure in heaven. Amen. So as we prepare to give thank you to our faithful tithers and givers, as Pastor Steve said, we trust God. And God uses you. He's brought us all to build this house, to build this church. Amen. So Father, I thank you for each and every tither. I thank you for each and every giver. Father, those watching online as they are prompted to give, those that are not even in church and yet send their tithe, Father, I just speak the blessing of God over their life. I declare that the word of God is true in your life, that blessings chase you down, that nothing you do will fail, that everything you put your hand to will prosper. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise God. We are promoting our networking meeting. We have that graphic. We have a women's networking meeting. And so this is for various women. And it's open to people that are outside of our church. There might be someone who's a realtor in the area. And they say, I'd love to let you know about what I'm doing. They're going to have 2 minutes if they'd like to register and actually present their business, whatever it is, ministry. We're going to have this evening on February 18th from 7 till 9. If you want to present your business, you need to come and speak to Monique, speak to me after the service, or there's ways that you can contact. We have it on our Facebook as well. But we also want ladies in our church, come and fellowship with us. Come and see what other people are doing. Come and be a part of all of this. And we're going to use it as a fundraiser for our February fundraiser. For Hannah's house.
Praise the Lord. Did the ushers pass the baskets?
Yeah, they did.
They already did.
Yeah, they did. And
so that is coming up on February 18th,
yeah.
Which is a Friday night.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Wonderful.
I'll tell you more about it.
Excellent. Please don't forget as you go today that Connect Group Leaders, you're going to be out there at the table, right? Connect Group Leaders, be out there. If you want to be part of a Connect Group, fill out the white card. If you want to come on the Christian Grow Seminar, starting in February, fill out the green card, says Grow. God bless you. Don't forget, invite someone next Sunday. It's going to be 75 degrees. Bring someone next week. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you then. Amen.